There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. A live local talk over the hour. Phone line, text line, 343-0106, 343-0106. I got a story for my buddy Angelo from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Angelo, I'm about 20 feet up in the air on a ladder, on a stand. And I was trying to cut some things loose from that stand, and they saw me pull a knife out of my pocket, and I guess they were watching closely enough as I locked the Openel knife, which has a different locking mechanism for locking it, what people can see. And they standing down there a whole bunch of people said, "What is that? What'd you just do? Is that one of those Openel knives you're always talking to Angelo about?" And I said, "Yes." So I had the advertisement from 20 feet of elevation. I did that yesterday.
Nice. Very good job.
It's the Openel knives, which is... I would say responsible folks might already think about buying Christmas gifts even this time of year. That might be a time to make a stop by the store and get stocked up on those.
Yeah, it's a great time to come by and check out the big selection of Openel knives we've got. Somebody else was actually doing some oysters this weekend, and I saw the Openel knife posing in the background there with some nice freshly shucked oysters, which was pretty awesome. But they have lots of different options, not just oyster knives, not just a standard little pocket knife. They have the kitchen knives, everything else, and... I know you and I love the knives, we love the Openels, but that's just a small portion of all the cool things we have here at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry.
It is. That's the thing that that's why it's good that we get to talk a couple times a week to work through it, because it takes that. You know, we often talk about precious metals and y'all's expertise on that, but also jewelry items, collectible items. I mean, that's just tip of the iceberg.
Right now we have almost 11,000 different items in our online store. You can access that by going to mobilebaycoins.com and then click on the shopping button, and it'll walk you through how to get to that. Of course, the best way to do it is come by the shop and check everything out. Whether you're looking for a piece of inexpensive jewelry for, you know, one of the kids in the family, you're looking for that oh wow piece of jewelry, you're looking for a coin that's going to be a lucky coin to keep in your pocket, or again, that oh wow, you know, very expensive, very rare collectible coin, we've got you covered.
Hey, and on the gift-giving side of that, too, if people have a little bit of advanced thought, don't follow us as last-minute people with gifts, y'all can do some things to make them unique, some certain pieces, engraving, making it personalized.
We've actually put out some of those engravable silver rounds and bars, so you can get everything from Santa Claus to the Nativity scene, all sorts of different designs. Like you said, personalize those. Get their name, get their initials on the back, you know, love mom and dad, whatever it is you want to put out there. When you give gifts like that, they're going to keep them. It's always going to have some value. And they know that you thought of them well ahead of time. And this was not picked up at the corner pharmacy.
That's for sure. And it's a unique and it's a treasure gift. Tell folks how to find y'all.
Yeah, we're in Midtown, 2204 Government Street. Of course, like I said, online, mobilebaycoins.com. And if you want to see some of the new cool stuff as it's coming in, like and follow us on Instagram or on Facebook.
Thanks, Angelo.
Have a good one, Sean.
You too. There's Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. I didn't even drag him into a silver discussion. We'll do that. Maybe we'll do that on Wednesday. All right. Let me kind of run through this. And I got a bunch of texts at the beginning of the show, but we'd already planned our conversation with District Attorney Rich about this NASA find. I find this very interesting. That NASA is confirming that water exists on sunny parts of the moon. So not dark side, not Pink Floyd, not dark side of the moon, but the sunny side of the moon. Report here from Axios says water on the moon might be more easily accessible than previously thought, opening up a new possible avenues for future human exploration. NASA's, of course, they're talking about the NASA program to send people back in the, I think it's the Artemis program by 2024 to send people back to the moon, which is so cool. They said, with plans to eventually create a sustainable presence on the lunar surface, that sustainability relies on mining the moon for its resources like water. Okay, here's what they found. So the discovery of water on the moon, the sunlit parts of the moon, meaning it's easily accessible, I guess, for that operation. The discovery reveals that the water might be distributed across the lunar surface and not limited to the cold, shadowed places near the lunar poles. The type of water found in the study is also encouraging, since it would be easier to use than other hydrated molecules found in earlier studies. And the water isn't in puddles or icy patches. Instead, scientists think it may be molecular water embedded in glass created during the impacts of the on the moon. Huh. How do you get that out? They said the water found in the study may also be difficult to extract, even if it's relatively accessible parts of the moon. They said if it's locked into glass beads, it may require more energy to extract it. If the water is mixed with up in the soil, it might be a little easier. Scientists and engineers have also haven't yet figured out exactly how they might mine the moon at some point in the future. Scientists want to use the water already on the moon and out in space in order to cut back on the resources they need to launch from Earth. This new study could help them figure out just how to do that. So this would be number one for, like, you know, that like I said at the beginning of last hour, that whole Epcot Center effect. You know, the future mankind on the moon, and here's what it would look like. And, you know, they'd have the gardening and all that stuff in the greenhouses. That's kind of where I was thinking about it, to be able to grow crops and obviously hydrate human beings. And they would have to, I'm sure, do something to recycle that water and use that water many, many times. But if it's there on the moon and it's accessible, it's a big thing. And I think Daniel had said in the first hour too, think about it for the propulsion, right? So if you're trying to create propulsion, it's a truck stop on the moon. You're gonna take a spacecraft further out, right? But you're gonna pull into the Flying J there on the moon. You got water, you got hydrogen, right? If you're using hydrogen, then you can make it there on the moon and, like, fill it up, and then we're heading on to Mars or whatever. I think it's really interesting. Do you think 2024, do you think that's doable? I mean, 2024, I don't know if y'all checked your calendars, although in today's world, who knows? That's not that far away. That's almost just like 4 years away or less. NASA plans to send people back to the moon by 2024. Would you sign up for that? Dalton, would you sign up for that? You sign up. I mean, if you've said before you'd be one of the first people to take, we talked about the vaccine, right? So, you know, one of my commentaries about the vaccine is hopefully it gets here very, very soon. But even if we do get the vaccine, I don't think 60% plus of Americans are going to line up to take the vaccine. But you told me before you'd be one of the people to line up.
Yeah, I think I would take the vaccine. Okay.
So with that being the bench, being the baseline, that Dalton is somebody who would be an early adopter, would step up for the coronavirus vaccine, would you get in a program to go to the moon by 2024?
Well, you know, if I'd been working my whole life towards making
No. Say they all of a sudden say, hey, we've got this thing down to where you come, give us about 3 weeks,
yeah,
and you can come do this moon thing with us. And
if it's there and back, if I don't have to spend more than 6 months on
okay.
the moon,
okay.
If it's a there and back shot,
okay.
And no income, no, I don't have to pay at all.
Right. It's a free. There we go. It's a free trip to the moon, 6 months or less.
Then I'm there.
You take it.
I'm taking it. Yeah. Now my body is not made to go to the moon. I feel like
they say you would atrophy your muscles atrophy with zero
I would
gravity.
Need lots of those bags they put in the back of the seats on airplanes. I would need a lot of those, but yeah, to be able to come back and say I've been on the moon, I would for sure take that trip.
Because I think you win with that. Like if you're sitting around, like with the, you know, you got different couples you're friends with, they'll say, well, you know, we did the trip to Fiji. You know, you're going, oh, you know, we did the Smoky Mountains. And there's somebody, somebody, you know, at the dinner party, they're like, well, you know, last time we were in Borneo.
Yeah.
If you could pull out and say, well, Yeah, we didn't do Borneo, but we did the moon.
Yeah, the
moon.
There's a comedian, Brian Regan, who I saw him at the Sanger probably over a decade ago.
Does he have a puppet? Does he use a puppet?
No, he's not Puppet Man. That's Jeff something. I can't remember the puppet guy's name, but Brian Regan has a great bit where you're sitting at a dinner table and everyone's having conversation, and you're never going to lose if you've been to the moon. You always have.
So this is somebody else. That's great minds.
But yeah, I would take that trip. Now, if it was like an 8-month visit onto the space station, or like an interstellar situation, I know you haven't seen the movie, but
I don't see any movies.
This guy goes to Mars, and it's going to just take the rest of his life.
Well, they say the Mars is a one-way trip, right? When they've talked about that they would get people, and but you would
you're not coming back. But for a trip to the moon, if they guaranteed that I was scheduled to come back in the next few months, I would take that for sure.
Okay, so you're in. So you are an early adopter for the COVID vaccine, and you're an early adopter for a little vacation to the moon.
Yeah, count me in for both of those.
Okay, good. I'm with you on one of them.
The moon one.
Yeah, that's right. That is correct. All right, coming right back. More of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. What about y'all? Would you? You got water there. What else you need? You make beer with water and some brains.
Can't you? Yes.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
I like that. Back to back. Music from the Police. We're on a trend here. On a Monday, it's Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. And I tell you a little behind the scenes, pull the curtain back. So I had to get my buddy Josh Woods, executive director out at the grounds, off of a man lift. He is cutting limbs down to come talk with us on the radio. Thanks for getting off the lift and talking with us. Hey, Josh.
Well, thank you for the opportunity for me to get off the lift because I love, I'm a big fan of height. So, yeah, we're doing what we got to do to get open. So, and cutting limbs down and forgetting to call you in time is one of those things.
It's cool. I mean, out of all the things people are doing when they're not on the air with us, you win for the coolest thing today up there.
Awesome.
So let's talk about this Greater Gulf State Fair and the plan now going forward. Kind of give us dates and what we're talking about here.
Yeah, so we're pushing for an opening on Friday. So we'll be opening October 30th. I'm going to be running through November 15th, and we'll be closed on Mondays and Tuesdays. So it definitely gives 3 weekends to come see us and the days in between.
Okay. Now, what's different other than some of the dates?
Yeah. I guess the question would be what's not.
Yeah, what's not different?
yeah, we honestly, so we're doing, we normally have that one gate coming in with those amazing and awesome designs by Ron Barrett and his amazing team. Well, unfortunately, due to the COVID environment we live in, we're keeping everything outdoors this year. So it will have 3 entry points instead of just one. I'm kind of staggered across our parking lot there. Increase sanitation. Now, we've already been there for years and years, been doing everything we can, getting trash off the ground, cleaning. This year, we've got a team that's doing nothing but wiping things down, and the ride workers are trained. They've gotten a lot of practice this past couple weeks in flipping and cleaning and doing everything like that. So we're really going to have a pretty clean and sanitary environment.
Yeah, one of the things you and I talked about during the summer is the fact that you're studying what other places we're doing, right? So the benefit is number one, we can have the Greater Gulf State Fair, but also with the knowledge that's been gleaned from other people that do this in other parts of the country.
Yeah, for sure. So we have an awesome, everybody in the industry talks. And so Delaware State Fair did a very great job. We copied and mimicked a lot of the things that they did. There's other fairs across the country we've been paying attention to and watching, and we developed our plan, and it's on our website at greatergulfstatefair.com if anybody's curious and wants to take a look at it. But we're marching forward opening day. We're very excited about the hurricane, obviously throwing a little a little wrench in our plan. 2020 wasn't full enough.
Oh, man. This year. Never at New Year's Eve when I'm looking forward to the new year, I'm never really casting, shade on the previous year, but this year will be different.
this year, nobody will be getting a 2020 tattoo, that's for sure. But we, the hurricane's sitting out there and it's developing, and we're, normally we'd be freaking out, but we're just rolling with the punches. So we might have some announcements. We might have a little bit later time opening up. We'll see, but we're going to get there, and we're excited to open the fair.
Now, you talk about the entrances being different and those things, but will the fair look the same for, number of rides or things along the midway? How's it look?
Yeah, it will. So there'll be 58 rides on our midway. Normally we have anywhere from 56 to 60, so 58 rides this year.
Okay.
All of our amazing food vendors that we normally bring in with some extra special ones that we can't wait to talk about over the next week. And then, obviously we have the ag component where Saturday we'll be having a steer and heifer show.
Oh, you will?
And then next Saturday we'll be having the poultry show. So we're really excited. Yes, it's going to look a little different, feel a little different, but all those core parts, those key parts that people are used to will be here.
But, and that's good because, Josh just tipping his hat to me because, I'm the guy that's, I like the ag side of it. I look forward to that. So that is happening.
Yes, sir. It is happening. Unfortunately, couldn't figure a way out how to do the hog show this year just because of, they're raised in barns that are very crowded and with kids trying to feed their animals. So it's kind of best that we took a break this year for that. But it'll be back bigger and better next year.
Let's talk about people getting tickets ahead of time or showing up. What's that process?
Oh, 100%. So the easiest, most contactless way of getting your tickets is just to go to greatergulfstatefair.com. There's still discount tickets available. And so you can go there, buy your tickets. And honestly, you don't even have to print it anymore. You just show your email that we send you after you buy your tickets, and we'll scan you right in the gate. But we also are operating our ticket office every day until 6 o'clock leading up to the fair. We'll close that about 3 o'clock on Friday, but every day till 6, just come visit us here at the fair at our main entrance at our door there, and we'll sell you some discount tickets.
Talking to Josh Woods, executive director at the grounds in the Greater Gulf State Fair, man who that means you get to get in a chairlift and cut limbs. Heavy is the head that wears the crown.
It's a JC project, so nothing's complete without a man lift.
That's right. I know how y'all roll. Okay, you've got this going, once again, for people this weekend, the next weekend, and the next. So three weekends.
Yes, sir. Three weekends. We're just closed on Mondays and Tuesdays. That'll give us a chance to see what we did, what we need to do better, address it, and open back up and do it even better.
This is good. And I'm got, so if people want to go look at that plan that you have posted up on the website, I think that's good, because what you're working off of is what has been successful so far this year, right? This is not, this is tested. You had a way to at least have a test case here on these other state fairs.
Yeah, we did. So we're going to be the second to last fair to open this year. We might actually be the last fair to open this year. So we've had a lot of opportunities to see what people do great and improve on other things that they didn't do so great. So we're very excited. Our plan's on the website. You can download an app. We have an app in the App Store, Greater Gulf State Fair, and the plan's there as well. And I definitely want to push on the best way to get to the fair before we get done today. The best way to get to the fair is to come down Schillinger Road, turn on Howells Ferry, and use our Howells Ferry gate because we got a little bit of road construction going on in front.
Yeah, that's for sure. Right there. Cody and Ziegler is something. All right, Josh, get back up on the lift and get that stuff done.
I will. I got two more limbs to trim. I appreciate it, John.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. Talk to you soon. Thanks.
All right. Josh Woods with the Greater Gulf State Fair. We're rolling on Midday Mobile. So the fair is happening, which has made kids in my house happy. So that's happening. Hopefully we'll see you out there. Coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 9:35, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Remember, you check out our podcast of this show or the other 54 hours a week of live local programming that we're putting out from our studios right here. Local folks, locally owned radio station, local hosts, local subject matters. You can share those podcasts, enjoy them for the first time, enjoy them again, whatever you want to do with them. You can check them out a la carte style by going to fmtalk1065.com. Get them right there. Or you can go to, if you subscribe at iTunes or Stitcher or Spotify or TuneIn Radio, those places all have our podcasts. And TuneIn Radio, that's the app you can also use to listen to us on your smartphone right there. Or just go to our website on your smartphone and listen that way. All right, we'll kind of look at a couple things here. Market-wise, somebody's asking me about the stock drops today. And, you know, it's got two things going on here. Got two things going on. You've got, of course, leading into Election Day, right? Leading into Election Day. People sit back and wait to see what's going to happen. I wonder if we could play it through a couple different ways, though. If we went back to election cycles of the past and said, okay, here's what the market was doing, and then here's who was elected, and here's what happened afterwards, like the November 4th effect, and then do the same thing with the other person winning. I don't know if it would even change much. But this year, obviously, with all the other issues here and COVID-19, it's a different wrinkle. A story from MarketWatch said, it's been years since investors have been this fearful of a stock market crash, Nobel-winning economist warns. Now, there have been, remember the warning, I'll say this, I mean, I'm a person that has worried about the exuberance in the market, right? The exuberance in the market bothers me. I'm contrarian like that, so I've not been doing very much. I probably got out way too early. But the exuberance of others often worries me on the market. But because there's one person saying there's going to crash coming. They said the same thing was going to happen the second that President Trump got elected. Remember? And it didn't happen. I was worried that things were overvalued, but the market kept building. And, I mean, if you look at the other places to put money, interest rates are anemic, which is great if you're borrowing money, not great if you're trying to save it, you know, and accumulate interest off of it. So the market has been pushed by it being the best place to put money, right? It's been pushing it there. So here's what they say in this article from MarketWatch. It said Dow drops more than 800 points as COVID-19 cases surge and the stimulus stalled. The stimulus stalled thing bothers me because that's assuming that on November 4th, you know, when the political effects of being able to not make a deal on the stimulus, when they're passed, they'll get something done. So I don't get that. It's bothersome there when they say, well, it's about the stimulus. I don't think it is. I don't think it is. But this Nobel Prize winning economist, Yale professor Robert Shiller, you've heard the Shiller Index, right, in the past, is urging a cautious approach to investing in the top-heavy stock market in his op-ed in the New York Times. He writes this, the coronavirus crisis and the November election have driven fears of a major market crash to the highest level in many years. At the same time, stocks are trading at very high levels. That volatile combination doesn't mean that a crash will occur, but it suggests that the risk of one is relatively high. This is a time to be careful. He said he reached this conclusion based on what he's seeing in several stock market indexes, market confidence indexes that he began to develop decades ago. Specifically, his crash confidence index, that would be the CCI, Dalton, if we're scoring at home, is sounding the alarm bells. Shiller said he asked an investor this question. What do you think is the probability of a catastrophic crash, stock market crash in the U.S., like October 28th of 29, October 19th of 1987, that happening in the next 6 months, including the case that the crash occurred in other countries and spread to the U.S.? He said the bearish answers to that question registered one of the lowest readings in confidence he's ever seen. Shiller also pointed to the cyclically adjusted price-earnings ratio, the CAPE ratio, and a measure that he helped create as well. It compares stock market valuations from different eras by averaging the earnings over 10 years. All right, so what he's getting is he's looking at, okay, what was it doing in 1920? What was it doing in 87? Will that happen now? Okay. Why are we told that everything in our world now is driven by corona and the fight against corona, but for some reason it doesn't figure into this on these indices? Because if you believe that we're in the situation like we were in 29 or 87, I think you're forgetting the fact that we were in a solid economy, not just market, but a solid economy. People at work, forget the stock market. Stock market's a reflection of what's happening. The fact that about everybody who wanted to work had a job before this hit, that's real. And if we get the vaccine in and people start doing that, tell me the market's not going to adjust and be happy that the vaccine's coming in, and you're telling me that it's about the stimulus check? I'm not trying to, believe me, $1,200 or for the whole family, you know, $2,400, whatever it be for our whole family, is nothing to sneeze at. It's a big deal, but that's not, first of all, that's going to be done the day after the election. They'll start that process. As soon as it's not used as a bludgeon politically, it's going to happen. So Congress will get to work on that. So I don't know. I mean, there's one guy, Schiller, and there's reason to say this person has a lot better education on this than I do. Agreed. Raising my hand that they do. But they factor in a bunch of things and then don't factor in a bunch of things. So it's, yeah, and Dan's talking about the GDP report coming out on Thursday. We'll be watching that. But once again, it's like you go into this story from MarketWatch and they're factoring all these things in, but you go to another story on MarketWatch and they're talking about how much of this is driven by coronavirus. Well, if you have a vaccine or you have herd immunity at some level, doesn't the market try to come back to where it was? Because we didn't get to this place in the market because of the market itself. It was an outside influence with coronavirus. So I don't know. Do I know what's happening next? Like I told you, I've been fearful of it for a while. I've stepped away from it for a while, but that was based on the exuberance of others. But to say that, you know, we're in the same situation as 29 and 87, I don't know. Hey, we'll get to see next week, won't we? We'll get to see next week. All right, 143, we're going to get an update from WKRG. Also, speaking of updates, you can check out on our Facebook page the update from staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams. Gave us an update on Zeta, now a tropical storm. He did mention, Zeta can become a hurricane and maybe continue as a hurricane to the coast or be a tropical storm when it hits. What he did say is expect probably gale force winds. Might be looking at 60 miles an hour here in Mobile and Baldwin counties. Obviously, it'd be more to the west, less to the east. East on the track it is now, 3 to 4 inches of rain, impacts being sunset, really starting around sunset on Wednesday and going through Thursday, and then it moves on up to our north and east. So that's what we got. You can listen to his whole discussion with me from earlier today. Just go to the Facebook page and hit the link right there and get the latest. And then Dr. Bill will continue to update us throughout the day. And tomorrow morning, another big discussion with Dan and Dalton on Mobile Mornings. And, of course, we'll do just like we do every storm, whether it's Sally or any storm before or after. We're going to be here with you through the whole process. Got questions as the storm comes in, questions afterwards with recovery. We're here to help you kind of make the right choices, get the best information, you make the best decisions. All right, coming right back, more of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Monday. And it is Diabetic Eye Disease Awareness Month awareness because it's coming up next month, if I have it correct here. Dr. Joe Fontenot and Dr. Drew Salisbury in studio to talk more about that. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you.
So it's November, right, is the awareness
right,
month.
Yes.
And Diabetic Eye Disease Awareness Month. Obviously, if it has a month to bring to be dedicated to it, this is a big deal in eyesight.
Yeah, it's a very big deal. I want to first start off by talking about diabetes in general.
Okay.
I've got some stats, one in 10 Americans have diabetes, and the state we live in, Alabama, is very prevalent here. It's the third highest.
Yeah, I knew prevalence. We were always way high in the numbers.
You know, we got probably Mississippi's ahead of us. But,
right. But we've got big numbers.
Yeah, and so 12% of our population has been diagnosed with diabetes. So, you know.
Do all people that have diabetes end up having eye issues from it?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
If it's a well-controlled diabetes situation, if you see your doctor, you keep your sugars under good control, you typically don't have eye problems. The scary part is you often don't know if you're going to have eye issues. They can be ongoing without you having actual symptoms.
So they could precede the other symptoms from diabetes, the vision loss?
Yeah, absolutely. Most of the diabetic patients I see who have diabetic retinopathy, which is the disease of the eye that it causes, are unaware that they have it. They feel like their vision's doing fine. They come in to see me because their doctor asked them to, and we find that they have some bleeding in the back of their eye. They have some early changes.
Has it worked this way where you see somebody about their vision and then you figure out they have diabetes from that?
That happens very often, yes.
Wow.
Yes. And so, the eye is an interesting organ. It's sort of a window into the body because we can see blood vessels and the nerves of the eye when you come in for an eye exam. And when I see that the blood vessels in the eye are leaking and bleeding, that also shows me that other parts of your body are diseased from the diabetes, like your heart or your kidneys.
Something that wouldn't be as easy to see.
Exactly.
As the eyes. You have stats here that 60% of Americans with diabetes skip their annual eye-saving exam. So these are people that know they have diabetes?
Yep. And that's, you know, the awareness we're trying to provide now is if you have diabetes, you need to come in for an exam when you're first diagnosed. And then
it's an annual thing.
That's it. Once a year, it takes an hour. You know, we do a quick dilation. We have really amazing technology that can take pictures of the back of your eye. We can actually show you the changes that the diabetes are causing. And it's a tool I really like to use with my patients.
It's amazing that the technology is out there, but it's also amazing that people, 60% of people aren't taking advantage of it.
It is. So, you know, that's our goal today is to try to raise a little bit of awareness. We just need people to come in the door. You know, the other statistic I wanted to share with you is that just having a yearly eye exam, if you're a diabetic, can prevent 95% of diabetes-related vision loss. So that's really the barrier.
Significant.
Is just coming in to see an eye doctor. Yeah.
I mean, risking 95% of your vision or preserving it.
Exactly.
Dr. Fontenot, you and I have talked about this over the years here and bringing awareness to it. You get a lot of people with diabetes in the state. Yet this stat, 60%. Where are we missing out? Where are we missing out on this message?
Of course, as Dr. Salisbury said, missing out on early diagnosis and early treatment of diabetic eye disease. Now, what we do in my particular office, Community Services for Vision and Rehabilitation, we work with people who already have some degree of vision loss, any degree.
There's a lot of us out here.
Right. Yeah. But even people who are just having a little difficulty reading small print using a computer, they can be improved with the rehabilitation procedures, with the knowledge of the equipment, all sorts of things that we have available to help them. So it varies all the way from very mild vision loss to almost complete blindness. We are able to help them be able to continue to read, use their computer, to function more or less normally. And as Dr. Salisbury has said, it's a matter of getting people to come in through the door. So they have to be aware that help is available. Anybody who has any degree of vision loss can be helped and be enabled to function almost normally. So, again, we have an office in Mobile in Baldwin County, and all people have to do is give us a call, 476-4744.
Y'all are online as well?
Yes. And online, csvrlowvision.org. And as a matter of fact, we are in need. We're a nonprofit 501c3.
Mm-hmm.
And we will see anybody who has vision loss, whether they have insurance or not. But we need help financially. We get grants from various organizations like the Eyesight Foundation of Alabama to help us offer our services.
Mm-hmm.
We are having an online fundraiser too.
Okay.
With some real bargains.
I like that. You got my attention.
Yes. We even, for your part of it, we're having an online hunting trip.
Okay.
Deer hunting trip, just not too far from here, right on the state line in Mississippi. And we'd love to see you there.
This is, you know, what you're bringing up is what I've talked to so many folks in charities with, that if you had something on your calendar you did every year, you know,
right,
a charity event, it's a banquet.
We normally have a fundraiser at Spring Hill College.
And these things had to be canceled.
Right, and now it's been canceled.
But the need is still there. The funding coming into these things that we've always done it might not be there in the normal pattern, but y'all are still serving people every day.
Right, you're totally right. And if people go to our website, csvrlowvision.org, on the front page of our website, there is a little card about the fundraiser, the online fundraiser that we're doing, effective today and the rest of this week.
Okay, so this is something we go bid and then come back and check our bid kind of thing? Or?
Right.
Like that. It's competition.
And, I think there's a couple of things there you would be happy to bid on.
Well, I'm going to go check this out because, I mean, I think there's a lot of us just believe in what you do, and if we can get a cool trip or something out of, you know, for a deal, I mean, we'll do that. So, I mean, when you serve folks in Mobile and Baldwin counties, so this is money is staying local.
Right.
This is helping folks right here.
Right.
It's a big conglomerate.
No,
it's money.
We are members of several organizations, including national organizations, but the money that we collect from this fundraiser stays right here.
And so I think that's important to a lot of folks. They like to know that they're helping out people right
now.
We're
strictly a local organization founded here in Mobile in 2005.
Yeah, and there's a link up there, so it's easy to find when you get to the website. And so the online bidding starts as of today.
As of today.
And then by the end of the week, it'll be somebody blow the whistle, and we'll decide who's got what.
Right. And people should consider this not just as a bargain, but as a donation.
Correct. And Dr. Salisbury, what does it mean when, you know, you have those funds to be able to help out people locally? I mean, I imagine it's got to be a great feeling to be able to bring somebody in who had nowhere else to turn to.
Yeah, and that's Dr. Fontenot and I work together. I don't work in his clinic, but the patients that I can't help restore their vision, Dr. Fontenot can help, and so we work together in that way. And this money that he raises is extremely important for him to have the ability to do that, because at some point patients lose vision. Their ophthalmologists, like myself, we can only do so much. And then Dr. Fontenot's job is to maximize what they do have when we can't save their vision.
But you're talking about with today's technology, the chance of stemming the tide of that vision loss is a lot better.
It is, absolutely. But, you know, it's just to reiterate what we talked about earlier, a lot of patients don't come they don't come into my office until it's too late. They've already had permanent vision loss. And then
Don't assume that there's nothing that can be done.
Exactly. Exactly. Even if you've lost vision, we have the resources through Dr. Fontenot's clinic to help them.
Very good. All right. Once again, tell folks how to get to the website and the online auction.
Again, the website is csvrlowvision.org. And right pops up immediately the information about the auction.
And all the money that we're raising here, y'all, is going to help out folks right here in Mobile and Baldwin County. I think that's extra special. Y'all, thank you for the work you're doing.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
All right. And we'll come back and talk about this more going forward, because November is the month. And you know what? Can I say, if I say focus, then y'all are going to roll your eyes at me, right? We'll focus on that in the month of November, Diabetic Eye Disease Month. All right, out of here, Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next.